without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. The term faith here refers not to saving faith in Christ, but to the sense of confidence in one's liberty in Christ. In this case, strong Christians such as Paul understood that their diet had no spiritual significance. The weak simply were not yet clear as to the status of the Old Testament regulations under Christ's new covenant. The motivations behind both the weak and the strong were the same. Both wanted to avoid sin and to serve God fully. The point, Paul said, is that unity among Christians isn't and shouldn't be based upon everyone's agreement over disputable questions. Christians won't agree on all matters pertaining to the Christian life because God didn't address every matter in Scripture. Gratefully, we don't need to agree as long as we handle our disputes lovingly. If we're to express love in the face of our disputes, what will that look like? It should be the kind of love that has less to do with emotions and passion and more to do with honor and sacrifice. In other words, when it comes to disputable matters of conduct, it's critical to recognize the importance of the other person's convictions and to gently honor those convictions, even if it requires your own personal sacrifice for you to do so. That's genuine love in action. Paul defined personal convictions in this manner. From Romans chapter 14, verse 14, "As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean." Don't generalize from this that sin is only a matter of subjective opinion or individual conscience. Paul is not discussing conduct that's clearly sinful in light of Scripture, but conduct over which Christians may legitimately differ. We have situations like this today. Paul had his meat, and we have our Halloween, for instance. Halloween is a high holiday for Satanists. And the dark history of the Druids and jack-o'-lanterns is sobering, to say the least. Hence, some Christians believe that celebrating Halloween is evil and that pumpkins are lightning rods for demonic activity. Open your front door on Halloween and you open your door to the dark realm. Others feel that Halloween is no more than a kiddie costume party, a time to walk through the neighborhood while your wannabe ballerina and make-believe G.I. Joe knock on doors and scream trick-or-treat. Pumpkins are just a hollow orange fruit to carve up with the kids, not the manifestation of some occult activity. While one Christian senses liberty regarding Halloween, another feels too convicted spiritually to take part in the holiday. It isn't that truth changes, it's just...